Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Let's go around the NFL in the Loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right. We're about to go around the NFL here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Earlier, our question of the day, who are the maybe not all-star, not elite kind of athletes that you would
have. I'm still over here thinking this. Yeah.
Oh, keep them coming, right?
Keep them coming.
Somebody mentioned Cynthia Cooper, and I'm like, was her, first and foremost, like, was she like acknowledged or retired? In,
I think,
like,
don't she part of the Houston Sports?
Well, she's in the Hall
of Fame.
Hall of
Fame? Yeah, she's in the
Basketball
Houston Sports Hall of
Fame. So she's
the
a,
Houston Sports Hall of Fame, though.
Yeah,
right?
She's in the Houston
she got the white coat.
Too.
She does. So I was like, how does that work with a team that is folded and defunct?
I'm telling
you. At least for the time being until Uncle Tillman can bring that thing back.
Yeah. Captain Scott on the bat phone brought up a couple that we hadn't been mentioning. Roy Oswalt and Mike Hampton.
Yep.
Mm. Yeah. I was thinking about the Honey Badger.
Teron Matthew.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. He was here for one year, right?
Year.
Hey, man.
What are you
legendary
doing?
Run, man.
Yeah, he's really stretching the boundaries on this.
Hey, that's a legendary
there.
Run, man.
Yeah.
Some Jim Peterson came in on the text line as well. Commander Cody on the 713.
Tony Eusebio. Subi. Love that guy.
Okay.
I love that guy.
All right. Keep those coming in. Carlos Lee.
Carlos Lee.
Oh, I had honestly.
He's still trying to finish running to first base.
Oh, goodness. All right. Yeah. Let's now go around the NFL, which is brought to you by Quick Assist. Last minute change of plans. You can't use your tickets. Download Quick Assist from their app store today. They'll take care of the process for you and find the best price on the market. That is QUICKASYST. Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. So you recall a couple weeks back in the divisional round, when the Bills were playing the Ravens, there was a little bit of selling, as I would like to call it, by one Mark Andrews. He had a inopportune time to fumble in the fourth quarter, and then just the worst drop that you could probably have from a guy is opportunity on a 2-point conversion to tie up the football game and maybe make good for that drop, for that fumble that he had earlier, and just could not reel it in on a pass that was very catchable. Bills Mafia did what Bills Mafia does,
yeah,
right?
They
got together, they started GoFundMe, and I think they've raised over 6 figures for you know, type 1 diabetes research, or, you know, funding, which is a cause near and dear to his heart. Well, you recall Don Kincaid at the end of the AFC Championship game had an opportunity to keep that thing rolling to give the Bills an opportunity to try and go and win that football game. And he had a drop, maybe not in the same vein as Mark Andrews, but, I mean, it was catchable. I'm going to say it was catchable.
But it wasn't like here, almost placing the ball in his chest, and he still dropped it. But yes, yeah, it was catchable.
Yeah, it was tough. But the Ravens fans decided that they were going to do something similar and return the gesture. They actually started a GoFundMe just minutes after he dropped that pass to try and raise money for Dalton Kincaid. Now, the cash for the GoFundMe, the Ravens wrote, will go to the Summit Center for Autism, which is a charity that Dalton Kincaid has worked with closely in the past. The initial goal was $10,000, and I'm trying to see where they ultimately got to, because I know that they had reached that goal, and now they're about $19,000 deep. So not really hitting the same numbers as the Bills Mafia, but still, you know, trying to return
the
favor.
That was a bit of a stretch, though, man.
Oh, it was just a shot.
It was a shot.
A good, old-fashioned, petty shot.
I mean,
shot.
It's good to donate. Don't get me wrong. Of course. But nah, that wasn't all his fault, though, man.
No, but they were just like, I'll show you.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
But I feel like if you're going to be petty for charity, right? Like, yeah, I feel like this is the way that we need to handle all sports beef from now on, from all time. Oh, you think, okay, I'm raising money for your charity. How about that?
What's your charity?
They should have donated some money to the referees who didn't call that first down. That's what they should have did.
Yeah.
Yeah, what cause do y'all support?
Yeah.
Let me see your my cause.
We know
my
y'all
tweets.
Lost the game because of the referees, so let's donate in honor of the referees.
Well, it's probably going to go to like a, I don't know, Seeing Eye Foundation or a school for the blind or something like that.
That would be hilarious. That would be hilarious. I'm all for that type of pettiness. School of the blind.
Yeah. What is the charity that you donate to when you're ticked off at the refs? Yes. Let us know. 713-572-4610. But again, salute to the Ravens. Also, who extended offensive coordinator Todd Monken as well earlier in the week. So more of the same expected, I imagine, there when it comes to that offense and the way that they're getting stuff done.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, baby, because they're making people everywhere a lot of money. But Monken is good. I mean, you know, it's one thing.
100%.
You know, obviously those two players have unlocked their greatness, you know, a long time ago. But it did work better than it has in recent years, you know, altogether there in Baltimore.
Yeah, they just keep running to a buzzsaw, man. Yeah. That's the only thing. I wouldn't change anything like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, you just got to be at the top of your game, put your best foot forward, and hope that you find a sliver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just got to hope the Chiefs lose or have a bad game at one point.
Yeah.
Find a gap in there. And what's crazy is that even, I mean, Patrick Mahomes, I saw someone talking about this, like, oh, man, Patrick Mahomes has to play his best game to get over him. Like, Patrick Mahomes had some downright, like, okay games.
He had a rough year to his standards.
That's the first time they scored 30 points.
Yeah, he didn't have an MVP type of year.
Super Bowl.
In the AFC Championship game, first time they scored more than 30. Think about that.
Jerks. And now, I think it was a couple days ago, we found out what the jerseys combination would look like in this Super Bowl. It is going to be the NFC has been designated as the home team. Do you know why that is? Because I only just heard that and I thought, like, is it because
they just alternate. Is there another reason?
I don't know. I was wondering because I was like, is it possible that it's because it's being hosted in New Orleans and that is a NFC stadium?
I thought they alternated.
I thought the best record would.
No, they might just alternate. I don't know. But the Eagles have been designated as the home team, and so they have selected to wear their green jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means that the Chiefs will be wearing white jerseys. And funny enough, white teams in white have dominated more of late. Do you put any stock in stuff like that? Or
no, same thing with the coin flip. Hey, the coin flip has been tails three more times over the course of the series.
Well, I mean, if we're talking about prop bets, this is prop bet heaven. Yeah. It's the Super Bowl. People spend all sorts of money on prop bets.
Did you see the prop bet? Or not? I don't know if it's prop bets, but they got the bets on Taylor Swift.
Oh, yeah.
Who she going to be sitting next to, what she going to wear, and
you know
how many times she going to stand up and all this other stuff.
Yeah. Are the refs going to wear those white jerseys, too?
No, it's going to be their traditional white and black. Okay. Thank you for asking. And, that's what it's going to look like. But what do you think about, like, just the color combination as a look? Do you like that? Would you prefer the red on white?
If I were a Chiefs fan?
I'd have to make it just as a neutral observer.
Everybody always likes,
matchup?
You know, they call them the icy whites, you know, and everybody likes the white on white, which I don't think is bad. It looks good, but they all
Liberty white,
but they all tend to look the same. You know, like them in all white is like UT in all white.
I don't know. Are they wearing all white? I think they're still wearing the red.
Maybe they
aren't.
But I'm kind of like, I want to see your color. The red or the green.
I think both teams should do like an alternate.
In the Super Bowl?
Wait, do the Chiefs have an alternate? Because it feels like they're...
Dallas Texans, isn't it?
I don't even recall that jersey.
I think I've seen them wear the Dallas
Texans.
I think so. I'll have to look, but...
Yeah, so whatever their like newer alternate is, mm-hmm. because I know a lot of teams did their new alternates or created the new alternate. They should do that in the Super Bowl.
The Eagles and those Kelly Greens would be kind of tough.
Would be fire.
Yeah. It'd be kind of tough. Some other things around the NFL. We return to the coaching carousel. Speaking of New Orleans, those Saints, mm-hmm. they got to be down bad right now as Mike McCarthy has pulled himself out of the mix on the Saints running for the Saints head coaching job is what I wanted to say. He said that he is going to step back and prepare himself for the 2026 cycle, mm-hmm. which to me personally sounds like you got deep enough in there and you're like, I don't actually know if this is a good situation to be in with.
Yeah.
I mean, a quarterback that I don't know is like incredible. And then you have like the cap situation that they have constantly buried themselves in where they've played kick can while not actually being a level of candidate, a contender. It feels like when you are pushing money into the future, typically you do that while you have a window, and then when you don't, that's when you eat this. Except the Saints have just been like, why would we eat this now when we could do it in the future? Charge it up to the credit card, and somebody mm-hmm. in the future would pay for it.
Isn't it convenient that he decided to focus on himself?
That's right.
As a lot of people put on Facebook or whatever when they are out of a job. Isn't it convenient that he decided to do this when the only job open was the Saints?
Well, that was the only one that it seemed like he had any level of consideration for.
Yeah. I'm going to pursue other opportunities for a year. Yeah. I'm going to focus on me for a year.
Which he did. He did. I don't know if it was intentional then either after the Packers job mm-hmm. before he had the year off, and then that's when he ended up with the Cowboys. So maybe he'll take a year off and be able to pull
it's
another.
It's awfully convenient.
Sure, of course. No,
awfully convenient.
You're always spinning, man. She ain't dumb. Me, see what happened was, it was just getting stale, and we both wanted
mutual.
Something new, so
it was mutual. Yeah.
Another part of the coaching carousel, according to Jordan Schultz, Commanders offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury also mm-hmm. Has basically pulled himself out of the job for the Saints. He has decided to stay in Washington for a second season as the offensive coordinator there. Seems like all sorts of people have decided to stick around because of how fun it was to have Jaden Daniels in the way that they played. Because Cliff Kingsbury, it seemed like you would imagine that he would want to get back to an opportunity to be a head coach, but he's comfortable being the offense coordinator, and I think he might be right in doing this.
As Figgy would say, oh, word.
Yeah. Now, I think all the jobs that he potentially wanted is gone.
Yes, exactly.
So it's like, I ain't about to go to the Saints.
Exactly.
I would stay right here.
Yeah, Saints and Derek Carr and all this other crap and cap hell, and there's Jaden Daniels sitting right there on a rookie contract. I think I'll stick around.
It might be some other teams with some openings next year that I will go to. So,
and he actually put together an offense that held up pretty well over the course of an entirety of a season, which you had not been able to say mm-hmm. with his tenure in Arizona. So. Yeah. Maybe he's like, all right, do it one more time and make it very evident that, hey, I'm still that dude when it comes to calling an offense. And maybe he can actually climb the ladder in a way where he's not falling up this time.
Yeah, and I could be dead wrong on this, and he might end up winning 5 Super Bowls. But I've always looked at Cliff Kingsbury as the next generation of that is a great coordinator, not that great a head coach.
It's quite possible. It is quite possible.
Yeah.
And we'll see more in the evidence of coordinator. Mm-hmm. We won't see the head coaching thing. So, all those guys dipping out of the Saints job has basically left one man standing, and that is Eagles offensive coordinator Kellen Moore, who I believe that the Saints took the whole mm-hmm. delegation out to go and see him and get some more things. He said that he will not really, he's not going all the way on these things until the Super Bowl is over. And so... it'll be a couple of weeks, but it seems like he is probably going to be the next head coach of the New Orleans Saints.
Maybe. I don't know if that's true.
Well, you think somebody falls through the rafters like it's wrestling? Like, by God.
Well, no, I just...
Nah. Who the hell want to coach the Saints?
Why would Kellen Moore say... He can pull a Ben Johnson?
He can also go just be a head coach already.
Yeah.
Get that money.
Yeah. So could have been Ben Johnson.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
How about this? I teased it as such. A couple of quarterbacks need to say thank you to C.J. Stroud. And those quarterbacks are Drake May and Russell Wilson. They are the replacements for the Pro Bowl games that'll be happening in Orlando this weekend, in fact. Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow were initially the three AFC quarterbacks to make it. Burrow and, you know, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, when they went to the playoffs, they have opted out. And so May and Wilson have been added. People have kind of asked as to why some of the some other folks were not kind of put in to those.
Well, they might have been asked.
Well, and we know, we had the reporting, I believe it was DJ that had it, that C.J. Stroud was, you know, asked about this, and he decided against it. I believe Bo Nix was also asked about this, but he is undergoing a minor surgery. I think it's like a scope of some sorts.
Yeah.
So he much rather would, you know, go through that process earlier rather than later, do that. And so now you get a Pro Bowl games that has Pro Bowler Drake May, who, you know, solid season, and Pro Bowler Russell Wilson.
I was going to say, how y'all feel about C.J. not participating in this?
I'm just curious about it. I don't lean one way or the other, you know, in terms of like what it means, but I'm curious. There's a reason. I mean, he's in his second year.
Yeah, no, to me, if I don't even know what the reason is, but if it's the reason of, hey, I need to get myself together, last year I was kind of running around a lot.
Yeah,
this year I want to focus on whoever the new offensive coordinator is, just lock in and forget all the podcasts I was doing.
What's he doing in Cancun? He should have his nose in the playbook. You know, of those things.
Which playbook?
You know,
And I ain't even saying that.
No, I know, but people are always like, some guy's on vacation.
Yeah, if you're not at work, you should be working on work.
He should be looking at the playbook while he out at dinner with his family.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think if CJ, if he could kind of just lock in a little bit and just not really focus on this, because I don't think he had the best year.
No.
So I wouldn't feel comfortable being in the Pro Bowl when just like, you know.
Mm-hmm. And he's a competitive dude as well. Yeah. Like after, as you mentioned, like the offseason he had last year where he was going around, I mean, naming himself.
He was talking cash, you know what.
Top five player quarterback in the game and all those things. I think he had a little bit of a humbling, and not saying that humbling and that, you know, knock him down a peg, but he had a moment where he was like, look, this, you know, I did not perform the way that I wanted to, and that is not up to the standard. We know he has a harsh, you know, high expectations for himself. Mm-hmm. So it feels like it would track that he's like, no, I'm going to get back in the lab, and I'm going to try and make sure that I perform on the level that I want to, especially when you've talked all that talk, you want to walk it.
Yeah. And I think, too, the Pro Bowl, like, I feel like the Pro Bowl don't really mean much now. So it's no big deal.
J.J. Watt said they should call it the Participation Bowl.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So it's no big deal that, they brought me out here, so I need to go. It's just like, nah, I'm cool.
281 says David Culley for the Saints.
Hey,
might be the pool.
Hey,
that might be the
maybe it's not David Culley, but somebody like Culley.
I was about to say, David Culley already got his check. Like, if we're just going to do this as like a scholarship, just like, hey, the Lifetime Achievement Award of being a really great NFL coach that didn't reach the head coach level. Down here and get your check.
I was going to say, look at a former Saint, a Saint legend, something. Remember the coach did with Jeff Saturday or something like that?
Yeah.
Hey, Drew Brees, you want to coach?
Sure.
Hey, let's just get us through this year while we get everything together.
Yeah. Who's a long-term assistant or long-time assistant that just hadn't gotten the opportunity to get over? Like, who's the guy?
Eric Bieniemy.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Eric
Bieniemy. You want to be a coach? Come through, baby. Yeah. Hey, man, didn't you play in Colorado? Same colors. Come through. It'll be good.
That's right.
That's around the NFL here on this Wednesday. I almost said Thursday because it definitely feels like it, but it is indeed a Wednesday here in Houston. A foggy Wednesday even. I'm looking out the window and I don't see nothing right now. That is crazy. A weird day, especially for Lopez, as he spilled his cereal in his truck because, yes, he eats cereal in his truck.
While on the road.
Yeah, what is weird. And apparently the day was weirder for you, Lopez?
It got very, very weird.
Okay. I actually, oddly enough, want to hear about that. So you know what? We'll do that next.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
From the 281, donations for the referees should go to the Zebra Rescue Society.
National Federation of the Blind.
Okay.
That's one of the charities I contribute to.
Every Very good. Excellent.
So it's a real one.
That's a good one.
There you go. Yeah, we have a few things that we've just been tossing in the air all day long here on In the Loop. Because that was inspired by the Ravens trying to get back to the Bills Mafia and, you know, donate to a cause that was near and dear to Dalton Kincaid's heart after he was unable to bring something in. We were also talking about earlier today the players in Houston that you would like to see honored by having their number retired, even though maybe they don't reach that highest echelon of number retirement.
If they retire Martin Maldonado's, I'm moving. And I love this place.
Hey, man, Dusty Baker probably first person in line for that one.
Martin Maldonado. Yeah, baby. Yeah, let's get him up there.
That's wild. Been a fun morning thus far. Not for you, though.
I had one of those mornings, man. And it's going to get weirder from I'll ask you guys this question in a minute. But from the moment I got up, just a little bit backwards, a little bit late on everything. I'm sure we've all been there. But then I'm sitting in my office doing some work, and my daughter shows up, which is cool, and she brings her dog Rocket, and I forgot that we were watching him, so I had to take Rocket out. Then I had to get my all ready for work. I made my cereal. Put my cereal in the truck, as I often do every morning, knocked over the cereal in my truck. Then I got on the road, and there's a lane closure. I'm like, dang, man, just one of those mornings.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Then it got weirder.
Really?
It got weirder. Well,
so
not for
we passed the cereal in the truck.
I'm not. Everybody I'm going to be it. There all day
so
long.
So it's weirder than that.
Everybody does that.
Nobody does that. So people do weird things in their cars, and literally nobody was like cereal in the truck.
Okay, so not nobody. But anyway, so I got a message from my son, and it didn't happen to me. I'm asking our listeners and you guys. This is a real message. This is a real thing. It really happened. All right. So there's a dude that lives in an apartment complex, and he got this message handwritten. I saw the picture on his door. Tell me how you would react to this, guys. Hello, we are your neighbors in the apartment right above you. We absolutely understand the cultural significance of the quote. They put it in quote. They put it in quotes.
Goodness gracious.
Carne asada. To the Mexican people such as yourself, which is an assumption, I think.
Fair enough. That's right.
But you need to be considerate of our culture as well. We are vegans, and all caps, your meat smoke is coming in through our open window every time you fire up your grill. We, again, to all caps, kindly ask that you cook your next meat inside on a stovetop with the vent running. Thank you very much. So they basically said, you're cooking on your grill. We don't like your carne asada. because of your culture and you people, can you go ahead and cook it inside? Here's what I sent.
Yeah, it's a lot right there.
That, there's a lot going on. The Mexican people, such as yourself, we're vegans, your meat smoke, et cetera, et cetera.
I do love that in writing this, and do you have the, let me see.
Did I send you a picture, the screenshot?
No.
Okay, but this is
okay.
Real.
So you said, your meat smoke is coming through our open window. I feel like the answer right there, baby.
Close your damn window. Yeah.
Close the window, baby. Like that, we can make this nice and easy. Did you need me to close it for you? I can come over and do that if you need.
Come up and close it.
That is crazy.
So my son sent it to me, and I made sure it was real. And I this is what I sent him. I would cook lengua in duck fat one night. The next night, I would cook cabrito for several hours on the grill. And the next night, I would cook tripas.
You just be petty about it?
Just cooking every exotic.
Man, I walk past their door with a tomahawk in my hand. like I'm Fred Flintstone or something, man.
How would you handle that note?
Oof.
713-572-4610.
Yeah, one of the things I live by is, hey, man, you can get touched out here, right? So I try never to go too snarky on these things. However, I feel like a conversation would be needed, and I will try and operate from a place of kindness. Like, look, we outside in our backyard.
Exactly.
What you want me to do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I got to grill this outside. I feel like there's some steps that you could take. I'll try and put it on the farthest side of the backyard. I can do that.
See
for
which
you.
Way the wind's blowing?
Right. But we doing this barbecue.
Yeah.
And so you have to figure that out. And then if they want to get spicy with it, then we can get spicy with it.
Yeah.
Then we might be able to get real petty with it and do stuff like what you're talking about. And maybe. But I'll start from a place where I'm like,
look, the whole tongue out there.
Hear me out. What I'll do, I might be able to give you a little advance warning. Hey, on Saturday, we trying to grill out.
Mm-hmm.
Please take heed. And make adjustments accordingly.
Yeah.
But if that's not good enough, that's all I can do for them.
I will make it worse because they clearly was talking about them being Hispanic, right?
Yes.
I'm like, you know what? If I was your son, I'm like, you know what, babe? I feel like playing some Mexican music.
That's
right
what
now.
I'm saying, though.
Yes. Hey, break out the tambourine.
That's what I'm amazed by is like, if that was the complaint, they're being pretty chill because I've lived next to some of our brothers and sisters in Latinidad, as I like to say.
Yes.
And they be turning up into the wee hours of the morning. And the idea that this was not like a noise complaint, this was just about smell. Yeah, y'all don't know how good you got it.
Exactly. And the 713 brings up a good point. In a lot of places, cooking inside with the vent, the smoke still goes outside.
Correct.
It still goes outside.
That's right. Especially if
it doesn't go all the way up. Yeah. It sometimes still goes outside on the side.
Yeah. Nah, I would be like, you know what? Let's blast that music. Since they want to talk about our culture so much. Yeah. Here we go, baby. Hey! 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 Hey!
832 says it's Ramon Ayala time.
That's right.
It's Ramon Ayala time.
Hey, break out the tambourine, baby. Let's go.
I would bring mariachis to the patio.
That's right. you volunteer the backyard for any and everybody's quinceañera. Yeah. Like, no, I got the spot. Come through. We doing it out here. Yeah.
Yeah. There we go. Oh boy, we've got some listeners that are right in my wheelhouse in some of the
Chitlins
stuff.
Outside. Okay, see, now I would actually I think you'd be in the wrong.
Yeah, you'd be. I'd call the police. 100% cook some chitlins.
100%.
Man.
Don't put no chitlins
out, man. Yeah, I call the cops.
And the other one brings up vegan as a culture. I mean, I guess you could stretch it to a lifestyle choice.
Yeah, but see, that's the other thing too, because at first I'm thinking like, man, they clearly being a little racy. Mm-hmm. But it's not all vegans, but it's a lot of vegans out there that look at us meat eaters as peasants.
Oh no, that's out there.
So it could have been some of that too.
I got the idea from the 713. Write back no, and in parentheses say in Spanish. Still no. Yeah. No.
Nah, I would have just wrote appreciate it.
Yeah.
Just that's put right. it right on the door. That's it. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it.
Oh yeah. Roast a whole hog outside.
Oh goodness.
Hell yes.
Man.
Whole hog?
They mess around, move out.
I've cooked whole hog in my backyard a couple times. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Smells like good barbecue.
And
a vegan is not.
That reminds me of what was that? Tailgate of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody had a whole goat out there.
Yep.
Oh, that sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cabrito. That's what I said.
That's right.
Put one of those out there.
Yeah, they had the whole thing and just put that in the front yard, by the way, as well. Then the This feels like HOA type stuff, but it's not an HOA.
It's a building.
It's just a singular person.
Nah, if I'm, is he cooking inside the house?
No, or outside.
Yeah, nah, you can't tell nobody what not to cook.
It's called a
outside.
Cook, it's called a cookout.
Yeah,
it's called a cookout. Like,
come on, man.
That's wild. Okay,
that's insane.
Unbelievable. All right. Well, that is fascinating. Yeah, mm-hmm. It feels like a lot of people. I feel like we are 100%. 100% on this response, which is just
everybody. That's the first time in history we've been 100%.
And it takes
on anything.
This is an old saying that's kind of trite, but the nerve. You know, the nerve.
The audacity.
The audacity.
The unmitigated gall.
Somebody said I should volunteer to go over there and cook some of that stuff. Yeah, I do. I will.
Yeah, if you know the people that had this, we're just going to have a whole Sports Radio 610
little
cookout.
Beef tongue?
That's right.
Ain't nothing tastier than a beef tongue, baby.
All right, here's a good story about a Karen.
That's what exactly this is. What that is.
That's what this is. Oh, okay. So this text comes in before we go here to sprinkle a little sports on here. Presley was better than Hader has been. Do you agree with that? Because obviously, I mean, like...
Yes, because of postseason.
Because of the stakes mm-hmm. that you've had yeah. and, like, you have not had those mm-hmm. same situations.
Leave a plate on their porch.
That's actually... I was like, that's actually not a bad way to try and bridge the gap, but I forgot that they're vegan and they're not going to appreciate that. That's incredible.
Oh, Lord.
Unbelievable. Somebody say you can't be vegan and racist, pick a struggle. That's insane. All right. There you go. Yeah, a little bit of a, you know, you be the judge, and the judge has ruled guilty all the way up and down the text line for us. Someone said the smell is making them regret their life choice, and that, you know what? That's about them. All right. Coming up next here in Loop, let's get into what's popping, including Happy Lunar New Year to you and a big time Rockets win in Atlanta. We'll talk about it next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
I love this text just in and of itself from the 510, which again, I don't know where that area code is. I'll double check here in a second. There, I mean, the context is we were just
Austin?
Talking. No, that's 512.
Might be 512, yeah.
Okay, but like we were just talking about a note that was left on a neighbor's door that was just pretty egregious, asking for them to not cook outside.
Bay Area.
Oh, yeah.
You're from the Bay.
Bay Area. It just says meat flavored smoked vegetables. And I find that to be hilarious. That's just personally, that makes me
And they,
me
I mean, them being vegans, they probably do that stuff too.
They meat grill flavored, vegetables.
Meat
sure
flavored
vegetables.
Well, I don't know
about meat flavored, but they have the vegan meats.
Yeah, they do. The Impossible.
Which they smell awful, by the way.
Yeah, vegans, they do everything to try to make it as close to meat as possible without it being meat.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Let's see. The 713, right back. What else do you expect me to do? Eat cereal while I'm driving my truck? All right.
Everybody does it.
Nobody does this. Literally no one does it. All right, let's get into what's popping here on Wednesday, which, by the way, January 29th, 2025 means that we are at the beginning of the Lunar New Year. Happy Lunar New Year.
Happy New Year.
To everybody who celebrates.
Happy New Year.
January 29th.
Houston is a very
diverse
place.
It's a new moon.
It is. Yeah. And of course, various different, you know, countries celebrate this in different ways. The Spring Festival. I believe the Vietnamese call it Tet or whatever. But, shout out to all of the folks in Houston who will be celebrating in that way. And all that makes me want to do is stop by one of these restaurants and get some nice and good to eat. Because I know your Chinese restaurants, Vietnamese restaurants are
going to be big. Today's a Chinese food day.
Going
by the way,
up.
One more just via Twitter from our girl Rachel. She's a Hispanic sister.
I always forget to check Twitter. My bad.
Please, all caps, tell them to throw a block party, rent an inflatable bouncy house.
I will be there.
Put it right outside their apartment, smoke a whole barbacoa, hire a mariachi band, and have plenty of tequila for the familia.
I will be there, acting a fool.
Yes.
I'll be there. Let me know. But yes, it is indeed the year of the snake. I don't know.
Oh, I didn't look it up. I usually do.
Yeah, it's the year of the snake, Jake the Snake, and salute to all the people out there doing that, including, I guess, the Houston Rockets, because you remember the Houston Rockets used to lean heavy into all the Chinese portions of this, and the base, especially when they had Yao Ming playing on the team, another man whose number is retired, mind you.
Okay.
The Rockets get a big-time fourth straight win against the Atlanta Hawks in Atlanta. It's a remake or makeup game after a game, what was it, a few weeks ago that was supposed to be played?
Yeah.
When Atlanta actually got like many inches of snow and that made it.
And
really
Atlanta was on a back to back from the road as
they
well.
They were as well. Like
they
this
both came from the road to Atlanta
because you just had to try and fit this game in somewhere. I'm glad they got it in sooner rather than later. I thought this one might be one of those ones that you end up in late March and you're just, hey, we have to fly to Atlanta real quick for this quick game. Now it did stink because again you created a couple of back to backs and it looked like it was some sloppy basketball.
It was very sloppy, uninspired. You want to know what dead legs look like? That's what it looks like if you watch that game. It was very bad. But you know what? You can find a little bit of something even in those games, and the Rockets did. I mean, they went to their bench. I was like, hey, wait a minute, that's Jock Landale. And, you know,
and he
contributed a little bit.
That's the beauty of this Rockets team. One of the beauties of this Rockets team, there's a lot of beauties on this team. Mm-hmm. It's just, man, they really and truly go probably 11 or 12 deep that they trust.
Sure.
That they trust to play minutes. Now, I'm interested to see what the trust level is when you talk about playoff trust, which is a different thing.
Yeah.
But still, like, they trust to play, you know, real minutes, a lot of these guys, and that means a lot. It gives you a lot of flexibility as a coach in Ime Udoka. But I know that Ime was not the happiest, but I think he understood, obviously, the second night of the back-to-back, missing some guys, and tried to pull back some of the minutes on your starters because of the wear that they have had. So 196 was the final score. 21 turnovers.
Yeah,
for your Rockets. In this
game. We mentioned it was sloppy.
Very, very sloppy. Yeah. But a funny stat, oddly enough, and I saw this from Ben DuBose, so I'll give him his credit. This team is 6-0 in situations where they score 20 or where they have 20 or more turnovers. A real oddity because typically you turn
That's
the basketball
the right
over,
mm-hmm.
you're not supposed to win basketball games. But I think what that points to is this Rockets team is just I'm going to lean into all the cliches. Just a gritty team that like. If it's not going the way that it should, that's right. If it's not going the way that it should, they will try and find a way to win, which I understand is a little bit of spinning into a positive, but it is a positive. They found a way to get a W.
Well, I think what I got out of that game is, you know, the depth, as we've mentioned, but also just, you know, finding a way, which ties into your gritty comment, but also just recognizing what you have to do. And sometimes this is a fluke. But if you're going to turn the ball over 21 times, make your free throws. You know, when there is no defense, there is no running, you have a chance to make your free throws. They were 19 out of 20 on free throws. And it was so funny because, you know, they all had their dead legs and they were all looking, you know, playing sloppy and all that. So we're watching the game and, you know, my wife follows the Rockets because by default, you know, if I'm watching.
By osmosis.
Yeah. But Jayshon Tate had the fresher legs, right? And at one point, she turned to me. She goes, "Is he their best player?"
You should be like, "Yeah." Isn't it obvious? Is it not evident?
But that's my point. It's like it was kind of obvious yesterday. He had the fresher legs. He played a good game. What do you have? 16 points, something like that.
He did 16 points off the bench.
Yeah, but she goes, "Is he their best player?" I was like,
"Goodness gracious!"
Yeah, man, I mean,
listen here, woman.
Salute to Jaylen.
She's a good sports fan, but but it was just that kind of night.
So I mean, even Jaylen Green started off slow, but then he got into his bag at a point. I mean, he ended up with 25 points in this game, 7 rebounds as well, which was nice. Mm-hmm. Although he had 7 of those turnovers, which is not good. But yeah, you mentioned tired legs, tired brains as well. Like you could see it. The defense, especially like defensive rotations, there was one point where I saw Ime pretty mad jump off the bench, call a timeout because I think it might have been Jason himself who did not, swing out to a defender, you know, go out and close out on a shot and a knockdown from a corner three for Atlanta. Like you had a lot more of those moments and lapses, which I am very comfortable blaming on the circumstances rather than the players. But those are the types of things, and you're not going to have back-to-backs in the playoffs, but those are the types of things where when the stresses of the playoffs are there and you have that those are the things that make, you know, high leverage situations tough. It's the same thing when you talk about a relief, middle reliever versus a closer. Those higher leverage situations, they tax you more. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of appreciated this, you know, this game and seeing stresses on on this team and to see if they can take those kind of opportunities, find their way through and use that for growth and development.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a fourth straight win, as I mentioned, 8-2 in their last 10, these Rockets, and still sitting 5.5 games behind the Thunder, but they are indeed second in the West. Their next game will be tomorrow against the Grizzlies on the road. This road trip has been a really interesting one. But, I mean, it started with the back half of that that home-and-home with the Cavs. You get a win there, get a win versus the Celtics, win versus the Hawks, and see if you can make that 5 in a row against the Grizzlies team that you've had their number. this year.
You have had their number, and boy, just getting that win would be just a nice little cherry on top.
That's right. All right. Some other things that are popping. Did you see this? Actually, and let me. I'm going to do a little deference here to the golf because I know you like the golf.
Love it.
AT&T
big weekend.
Pebble Beach Pro-Am.
Big weekend
happening this weekend, which is the second signature event of the calendar.
Unofficial kickoff, usually to
the
like
PGA Tour.
The real tournaments.
Are you actually interested in this? Like, are you actually tapping into this?
Oh yeah. Oh, every year. No, I'll be watching. Okay. I'll be watching for sure. In part to see old Scotty Scheffler, which you'll hear about him tomorrow in Buy or Sell. But I'll give you a little preview today. He kind of, this is going to be his first tournament that he really participates in.
Coming off an injury. Him and Jordan Spieth.
Well, you know what the injury was.
What was the injury?
Don't say buy or sell yet. We'll do it tomorrow. He said he had a deep cut in one of his hands.
Mm-hmm.
He said he cut his hand making homemade ravioli.
Sure. I mean, if you can spill cereal in your truck, why can't he cut his hands and make us a ravioli?
Save it for tomorrow.
My bad. Okay.
Save it for tomorrow.
So yeah, for the golf fans out there, golf is on the way starting tomorrow. But yeah, did you see this about the Super Bowl? We will be out at Radio Row coming. We'll be out there starting Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Where I feel like, are we going to have beignets on Sunday? Like, are we starting this off
with
the shenanigans?
Not?
Okay, very good.
Yeah, why would we not?
All right, I just wanted to make sure. That was a show meeting that just happened on air, letting you know. But yeah, we will be there through Friday because we definitely don't got the cash to be there on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
The cost of seats are, you know, pretty high. But can you imagine the cost of suites? And apparently you don't have to. TMZ, who oddly enough has somehow become a reasonable news source in ways that
a
I don't.
A very reliable news source at this point.
It does not make sense to me how we got there. Like, I remember the times where you saw something on TMZ and you were like, why would I be reading from that like gossip blog thing?
Yeah,
and
well,
it's like, hey.
We said the same thing when they reported Michael Jackson, man.
Mm-hmm. Man. And
it was first on it.
Here they are now. But yes, the Super Bowl. Apparently Taylor Swift has given us a little bit of insight into this.
Yep.
The suites at the Super Bowl are ranging anywhere. They're starting from $500,000, and the most expensive price tag there at the Superdome, $3 million for a suite.
$3 million for about 5 hours, Figgy. You in?
Hell no, unless I'm on your tab.
I don't know if I'm making
enough.
I don't think I'm making $3 million in my lifetime.
If you made $50 million, $100 million, let's say you made $100 million last year. I don't know if I'd spend $3 million.
I wouldn't.
I don't think
the
I would.
Only
to be in a suite.
To be in a suite.
Now, I would probably try to get some other millionaires. Like, hey, let's pitch in.
Maybe
I'm not paying the whole $3 million.
Or just get really good tickets.
Yeah, 45. Yeah. Well, now you get 45 people in there. Obviously, the catering, and that comes out to about $67,000 a person. So a little bit more affordable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just a little bit more affordable.
$3 million.
But one of the things that this allowed me to bring up is just the way that the Super Bowl is situated, man. This is one of the things I really dislike about the Super Bowl. It's super corporate because
it's 100% corporate now.
The fans of the team would not have known that they were going unless they were just like, you know, they really put up a prayer and they bought tickets or they tried to get
the lottery
ahead of time
and all
whatever.
That stuff. That's the only tickets they have a shot at.
The only people that can on a whim decide to like spend that, it's tough and you're not going to get that collegial environment where people are really like tapped into the game. Like, I think that takes away from the ultimate product, doesn't it?
Of course it does.
Yeah.
No, it absolutely does.
I actually don't have a problem with the suites being kind of pricey because, hell, you could go to NRG and it's a lot of corporate suites.
Ain't
but
no,
and not
ain't
that
no $3
much.
$3 million.
Yeah, but my issue is with the actual tickets.
600 level. The nosebleeds in at the Super Bowl range from about $4,100 to about $5,500.
See, that's ridiculous. That's
per
the issue.
Ticket.
That's the issue I have with it, man.
Per ticket.
Mm.
Good Lord.
So let me find out any of y'all going to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Just go ahead and let me know so I can go ahead and tag you as wealthy. Wealthy on the text line. But yeah, that's what's popping here in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Then also you did want to mention some of these baseball things. The Dodgers continuing to add as if they did not have enough. Kirby Yates.
Yeah.
They sign a potential. I mean, is he going to close for them?
No. No, no, no.
That's the thing.
No, absolutely not.
Last year he was a closer.
He's going to be a middle reliever for the Dodgers on top of everything else that they've done.
Last year he was a closer.
1 year, $13 million. They're just spending money like crazy. But to give them credit, Mark Walter, their owner, Give them a little credit. He's donating, speaking of really rich people, Figgy, $100 million to wildfire relief.
Donating $100
million. $100
million.
Of course.
Don't do it. Don't do it. If you had to think about it, don't do
it. Most of the money is deferred until 2033.
All right.
Oh, man.
Okay. That's what this was about. That was the joke that he had in the
chamber. Yeah, you had that in the chamber.
The whole time. What do you think about this for the 346? They said you'd have to have it in a real crap area like Buffalo. That way you can see.
But they're not.
I'm like, well, yeah, first of all. Yeah.
Nah, they ain't.
You ain't nobody going and doing this.
That's why they keep going to New Orleans, Vegas, L.A. That's why they keep alternating these. Yeah. Good cities like this.
Relatively warm weather cities with the infrastructure. Buffalo has neither of those things. But also, like, even if they had the audacity to have it in a place like Buffalo, it's just still going to be the premier
same
event.
Thing. Yeah.
It's still the opportunity.
It was like that when they had it in New York and that was that bad weather. Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah. And I think they learned their lesson because
they haven't been back since.
Yeah. There's no way we go. I was about to say, I don't think I could say that. Should I do it? Should I do it anyway?
Say it.
There's no way they have this above the Mason-Dixon line. I was like, are we still determining things by the Mason-Dixon line?
Still a thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why is that the first thing that came to mind? I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that says about me either. I'll let you guys determine that. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's return to the Texans. Let's revisit the season a little bit and appreciate the players, the positions, the things that were good and maybe not as good. Let's do some Texans end of season awards and superlatives. We'll do that next.